Jesus will spit you out if you're not hot, right? We got to stay hot for Jesus. Praise God. We're going to move real quick tonight so the pages turn fast. You can fan your neighbor. Glory. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it because you have a
choice.
You have a choice to rejoice. Glory to God. You know, one of the most important things is that any human being on this planet wants to be free. Free. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, get free. Freedom! Everybody wants freedom. They want freedom from debt, freedom from sickness, freedom from bondage, freedom from multiple things. That's what the enemy loves to do. He loves to bring us into bondage. Amen? And when we come into bondage, strange things begin to happen. We begin to feed spirits. One of the areas of bondage is called fear, isn't it? Amen? Well, would you turn to Luke chapter 9, please? Luke 9. Hallelujah. In verse 23, Luke 9:23, something very profound Jesus was expressing. He was actually not only giving a pathway to freedom, but he was giving keys to be free. And a key unlocks things, doesn't it? Amen? And in verse 23, it says, then he said to them all, everyone say all, if anyone desires to come after me, first of all, no one can come to the Father unless he's drawn. So once he starts drawing you, there's a desire that says, I want to know him more. So now you're going after him. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. That is really the first key. And there are multiple keys. So every morning when you get up, the first person you see is you. Besides the demon standing at the end of your bed, got this list of stuff you got to do. Hey, don't you remember? You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. What is he trying to do to distract you? Because he doesn't want you to make connection to home. He'll try to prevent you to contact home. Because when you make contact with home, the angels are dispatched. It's our responsibility to make contact. You remember the old planes when I go, contact, and the thing would go, then they could fly. So you can't fly until you make contact. Amen? Nothing gets started. So the best way to make contact is, good morning, Holy Spirit. You just made contact. What did you do? You denied yourself. It's not good morning, America. It's good morning, Holy Spirit. America ain't going to rescue you. In fact, right now, the leaders we got in America are going to destroy you. I'm going to tell you. But thank God we're getting removed. Okay. So the first thing we need to do is, says, if you really want to come after the Lord, and you know, he's the only one that can free us. Only the one that made you can change you. Only one that made you can heal you. Only the one that made you can free you. That's it. So we need to get to him. But the enemy will do everything he can to prevent you getting to him. Think about all of our life and all the times that, oh, God, I need your help. Then something else will come across our path, and we just, well, maybe later. Or something, how many vows we'd made. I'll never do this again. We're kissing that toilet bowl and everything else. I'm never doing this again. And we did it again. We made many vows we couldn't fulfill because we tried to do it in our own strength. We didn't have the power to say no, even though we wanted to. We had good intentions and everything else, but we just couldn't do it. So we were trying to get to the one that made us, our creator, the King of Glory, who paid the price for us. So every morning you and I get up, what we need to do is separate, walk away from ourselves. Walk away. And that can only happen if you start praying. If you're an individual that gets up and says, let's see, I need to do this, I need to do that, and let me tell you the other thing. You won't walk away from your own self. Now, look at the next thing. Very, very important. He says, okay, so you're going to have to deny yourself. In other words, you're going to have to walk away from yourself. Amen? You're going to have to walk away from your desires and your will. And this is not a one-time basis. It starts every morning and goes through the whole day till you go to sleep. And then you wake up and you repeat the same thing until you're home. Now, the second thing he says is you're going to have to take up what? The cross when? Daily. If you've ever pulled a cross out of the ground, it becomes a sword. So that means that you and I got to have to battle. Amen? And if you're not in the battle, you become a casualty. Is everybody with me? So we're to pick up the sword. We're to pick up the cross, and we're going to attack the enemy. Amen? We're going to attack the enemy, and we're going to defend the will of God. Because if you're not one that fights, now let me ask you this. If you're in a battle, are you going to go out there with no armor? No. It's amazing how many believers don't put the full armor of God on. Do you know what armor you put on? The angel that's over you puts on the same armor. So whatever armor you're not wearing, he ain't wearing. Is that wild? And you got to remember, everything is transferred through angels. The Holy Spirit guides us, and the angels are still carrying everything on. Amen? So when you're praying, they're carrying messages. When you're praying, they're working on your behalf. Each one of us is designated a legion of angels, which is 2,000 to 3,000 angels working on our behalf. But there's a specific one who's called a guardian angel who guards us. He's with me and you. He's the one that can kill 185,000 people at any moment. But how you get dressed with armor is how he gets dressed with armor. Remember, the battle's between angels, isn't it? Amen? And in that battle, that's in the heavenlies. And then in this realm, well, you and I are walking, and we got demons that are coming up to us every day speaking to us, and they're trying to re-enter us. Because how do they get fed? By your emotions. As a man thinks, so he is, right? So as you're thinking, every thought has a what? Voice. Every voice has a presence. And every voice releases two things. Every thought releases two things. What is it? An image and an emotion. So demons get fed by emotion. Addiction is emotion. Lust is an emotion. Anger is an emotion. Hatred is emotion. Fear is an emotion. The only things that do not feed a demon is peace, joy, and righteousness. Why? Because those three things together is the love of God. Is everybody with me? Now, we need to stop feeding demons. Hello? Okay. So, we've got to walk away from ourselves every day, and it's going to have to start with prayer, making contact. You're going to have to pull out the sword and fight, but you're going to have to get dressed with the full armor of God. Because what you're not dressed with either is the... Now, you got to remember, the power, the angels are battling one another. So if your angel's not dressed fully, there's going to be delays. There's going to be battles. Amen? All right. And then he says, then you can what? Follow. That means you can focus. Focus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Why? Because he's going to release direction and destiny. He's going to release what? Direction and destiny. So we don't lose sight of him. Why? Because we want to be like him. Amen? Remember the woman with the issue of blood. What did she do? She was on her hands and knees crawling through the crowd. She realized that if she could touch, she said, if I can just touch him, I'm healed. That's all she said. And Jesus was bound. Everybody, he was in the crowd and people were bouncing all over him. They didn't get healed. Only one got healed. The one that had the faith that said, if I can just touch him. And then what happened? He said, man, who touched me? And the disciples said, what do you mean who touched you? Everybody's been bouncing off you. No, there's one who touched me that drew power from me. See, there's an area where we draw power from God. When you worship the Lord, you're drawing from him. That's why he says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. What are you doing? You're drawing the anointing. You're drawing from while you're praising and worshiping with all of your heart. You are losing yourself. That's the purpose of praise. To leave yourself behind. Then you worship. Now it's one-on-one. That's the same thing with the chambers. The tabernacle is three chambers. Outer court, holy place, most holy place. You start off with one. The outer court. You access into the holy place. And then you get invited into the most holy place. Where there's a oneness. Where it's no longer thoughts. It's no longer you. It's no longer anything else. It's one. Does everybody understand? Oh, hallelujah. So, those are three keys right there, aren't they? To what? Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Pick up the sword. You got to fight. You got to put on the full armor of God. And that's the only way you're going to follow. Because if you don't do the first two things, you cannot follow. You cannot focus. You'll be easily distracted. There's something the Word says in James 4. And let's go there while we're talking about this. All glory. James 4. Do you believe the Word? James chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 6. James 4, 6. Let's read it together. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God what? Now, let me tell you this. Pride says no to God. Pride says, I'm going to do it my way. This is the place I'm going to go to. This is the place I'm going to do. This is the thing I'm going to, I. Amen. So God resists the pride. He says, I ain't giving you grace. Grace is God's plan. It's associated with his will and destiny for you. Because you're not willing to accept his will and destiny. Because when you say no to him, pride says no to him. He says, okay, go. Let me tell you, the one thing we don't want to do is grieve the Holy Spirit. Because he just steps back and he says, go for it. God resists the proud but gives grace to the what? Humble. That's his will and his destiny, your destiny. He's got planned out for you. That's the will of God. Grace is God's will. It's not a magical thing. Amen. It's the plan of God for you to escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. Okay, then he says what? Verse 7. Therefore what? Submit to God. That's going to take humbleness, isn't it? It's going to take something else. The most powerful key needed for freedom. Obedience. Nothing works without obedience. Why? Because the price of freedom is what? Cooperation. Amen? So if you're not willing to cooperate, that means you ain't going to be obedient. And then you're not going to get free. And you'll go in cycles. And that cycle returns every time. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So you're going to have to get humble to submit to God, right? And that's going to also take obedience. And if you're not willing to be obedient, you're not going to be humble. You're going to be prideful, because to not be obedient is disobedient. It's called rebellion, and it's called stinking pride, which is the number one killer of mankind. So obedience is the main key of everything. Isaiah 1. Is everybody okay? Well, nobody ran out yet. You can lock the door just in case. Glory. Isaiah chapter 1. And verse 18. Ooh, this is good stuff. All right, are you ready? Good, let's start at verse 16. Let's speak it together. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. It's amazing how many people don't think that God sees. They shut the door. He won't see. He won't know. How dumb can you be and still breathe? Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to what? Learn to do good. Learn to do good. Why? Because, you know, freedom is learned, isn't it? Okay, so to learn something, you need to be obedient. Amen. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Hello. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and what? Obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Hello. Has everybody got it? What's the number one key? Obedience. 1 Samuel 15. Now, let me ask you this. To be obedient, you need to be disciplined. Amen. That's where the word disciple is in, isn't it? Disciplined disciples in there too. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Hallelujah. Keys to freedom. Everybody wants to be free. Nobody wants to be tormented. Amen. Then don't hang around people that torment you. Don't associate with voices that torment you. Hello. Don't listen to music that torments you. Don't watch TV programs that torment you. It's real simple. That's called denying yourself. Oh, glory. In verse 22, let's speak it. So Samuel said, and he was speaking to Saul, King Saul, and he says, has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as what? In obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to what? Obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed than the fat of rams. Many people are always looking at their sacrifices. They justify their sacrifices instead of obedience. Oh, Lord, but I've sacrificed so much for you. Oh, puke. It's like when somebody comes to the Lord, oh, you're humble, sir. Ridiculous. Never tell God you're humble. Hi, God, I'm humble. All right. Your humble, sweet servant. There goes the floor, opens up. You were his humble, sweet servant. Hallelujah. So to obey is better than sacrifice. Stop looking at what you've sacrificed to get where you're at. That's pride, justification. Then what you're doing is you're saying you did it, not him. Hello? Verse 23. He calls this something very special. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Ooh. And stubbornness as an iniquity and idolatry. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he will reject you from being king. Now, I want you to know that king represents warrior. It is part of the third chamber of the tabernacle. Kingship is associated with warrior. In other words, he will not allow you to carry his sword. He says, you will not fight for me. Everybody got that? Obedience is better than our sacrifices. 1 Peter chapter 1. Keys to freedom. So you think you need to start your day every morning with making contact? Amen. See, because you're going to either make contact with heaven or hell. And if you don't know what contact you made, everybody around you does. Just ask them. Amen. And you made contact with the wrong door, brother. You went through the wrong door. Jesus said, I am the door, right? You didn't go through that door. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. What does it say? Therefore what? Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, which means what? Alert. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as what? Obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. That's kind of like a rebuke. He's saying, dummy, what are you doing? Come out of there. But as he who called you is what? Holy. You also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Adultery, fornication isn't holy. For some people that don't understand that yet. Pornography is not holy. Lying is not holy. Amen? He said, be holy, for I am holy. As obedient children, don't conform yourselves to the world, the lust, the desires. Those who love the world become enemies of God. Amen? Philippians 2. And the only way to overcome this is to be what? Obedient. You can't overcome nothing without obedience. And you can't be obedient in the morning and not in the afternoon. Believe me, at 12 o'clock, you won't turn into a pumpkin. Amen. You must be obedient at all times. And the only way to really have that arena is when you make contact with heaven, then the Lord is before you. And when the Lord is before you, no matter what you do, no matter what you think, you know he sees all. Are you with me? No matter what's happening, you don't lose focus. When you lose focus, it's because of disobedience. When you are obedient, you're denying yourself, you're in the battle, you pick up the cross, you pick up the sword, you follow, you're focused. That means he's in front of you. David always said that, I always see the Lord before me. I love that. I always see the Lord before me. Why? No matter what you do, no matter what decision's going on, no matter what's going on in your life, he's always there and you're always welcoming him. That's called relationship. If that's not involved in your life, you don't have relationship yet. Has everybody got it? But we're building to it, aren't we? Amen? So everything you do, no matter what you're doing, you always invite him. He's always there. They're always acknowledging him. The word says, acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he'll what? He'll guide your paths, won't he? He'll direct your steps. Amen? So we always want to keep him before him. That is relationship. And that's not going to happen unless you're disciplined to maintain obedience. So we need to be consistent in all things, don't we? Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking a form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of a man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he what? Humbled himself. All right, now wait a minute. He humbled himself and became what? So you can't become obedient without being what? Humble. So he humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Wow. And therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and on those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, this is powerful because he said, humble yourself. What was he? Look, to humble yourself, you must walk away from yourself. You cannot walk away from yourself unless you're willing to be humble. That's the first part of it. You make contact. Why? Because you humbled yourself. What you're telling God is you're showing him, I can't do it. You know, I get many people going, I can't do this. You're right. You can't. But he can. So if you'll just humble yourself and grab a hold of God and let him build the house. See, what happens is we get trials and tribulations come, and the first thing we want to do is take care of it. When the Lord says, cast it on me. That's the carnal nature, to try to protect self, to take care of self, so that we are in survival. But to become humble puts us in a position of surrender, because we cannot be humbled without surrender. When we reach a place of constant surrender, we are submitting. Amen? That's a place of humbleness. All right? Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Now, one of the things we want to do is, why do we want to walk away from ourselves? So we can be obedient. Look at it. It says, Jesus humbled himself, right? And was obedient unto death, to the cross. Why? Because the only way you're going to fulfill the mission that God sent you into this world to fulfill is to deny yourself. You first must become obedient. Amen? Obedience is what's going to fulfill the mission. Other than that, we're going to stand before him one day and realize, oh my God, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Or I was successful in the wrong assignment. Terrible thing to be. 2 Corinthians 10. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. Let's speak it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Oh, glory. For the weapons, everyone say weapons, of our warfare, which is not physical, it's what? Spiritual. Amen. For the weapons of our warfare, which is not carnal, which means physical, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is a memory lie. It comes from the voice of a stranger or from a voice of a human that you've accepted it and said, that's me. That's why people sit in those 12-step programs. Everybody goes around the room, hi, my name's Ralphie. Or whatever, and I'm an addict. Hello? They just do. They just agreed and said, hey, I'm an addict. So they're always trying to fight addiction. They might not be using drugs, but they're usually huffers. So they turn to cigarettes, and they smoke like crazy, or they eat more, or they become workaholics, or whatever it is. Because they're not releasing themselves from that addiction spirit because they keep confessing it. Hallelujah. Anyways, verse 4 again. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical or carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every what? Thought, because that's where the arguments are, aren't they? They're in your head. Bringing every thought into captivity to what? The obedience of Christ. Now, look at this. And being ready to punish all disobedience when what? Your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, it's the same thing when the word says, when you fulfill the will of God, in other words, there's a will that God asks you to do. So when you fulfill the command that he's asked you to do, the promise is released. After you do the will, the promise is released. Everyone is given commands. We're getting orders every day. He's always asking you to do something. You may not grab hold of it, but he's establishing your steps because you're surrendering. So there's something that we do. When we do it, it's released. The promise is released. How many of y'all know freedom will be released? Freedom is released in our life. Where there's peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. There's not torment. There's not addiction. There's not ungodly desires. It's free. You're no longer struggling. There's no struggle. It's amazing how many times people come to me and say, I'm struggling. Well, the reason why you're not struggling, you're not making contact. You're not using the keys, bind and loose. You're not using what God's given us. Everybody wants to justify a reason or blame something for their problems. Everybody has a choice. You either take responsibility and roll it onto the Lord, or people blame people for their problems. And that doesn't dissolve or resolve anything. Amen? Hallelujah. When your obedience is fulfilled, denying yourself, pick up the cross, follow him. Amen? The price of freedom, which is cooperation, obedience. When your obedience is fulfilled. Now, people have a tendency to do certain things. They have short-term obedience. Short-term, medium, and long-term. Yeah, I'll be obedient. Yeah. 15 minutes later, it's called short-term obedience, man. One day obedience, and after that, it's not obedience, it's short-term obedience. See, we've got to be in to see things all the way through. So we're not trying to become obedient and disciplined, obedience and humbleness, and submit to God for a short time. This is a lifetime. That's called long-term. Because you cannot take what God's given you and bring it into your life. It won't work. When he gives you a new life, he doesn't fix your life. He gives you a new life. So when he gives you a new life, you are taking the things he gives you to maintain new life. You cannot take the things that he's given you and put it in your old life. It's not going to work. Amen? That's why he says, give it to me. So we give everything, we put it in his hands, and then he releases it. Because he'll clean it, fix it, heal it, everything else. Why he's working on us. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Oh, hallelujah. Romans chapter 6. You know, people are still out there roaming for the truth. I was a Roman Catholic. I roamed for the truth many years until I hit the wall of reality. It's called jail. Whoops, I must be doing something wrong. I think my belief system is incorrect. Gosh, God, I thought you made all of this marijuana, cocoa leaves, and poppy seeds for me. I think I'll just manufacture it and make a living out of it. I was the greatest salesman out there. Of course, I was my best customer. I figured I was going to retire early. I did. I retired at the age of 20. I went to prison for life. That's why they call it dope. Dumb. Hallelujah. Romans 6, verse 15. What then? What the heck? Hallelujah. What then? What does it say? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? I mean, do you realize how many people think because they're saved by grace, they can go out and do the same old thing they used to do in the old life? That's a false doctrine of once saved, always saved. No such thing. Who you serve when you die is where you go. So you better make sure those sins are under the blood. Amen? Oh, glory. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Does everybody see that? Certainly not. That removes that doctrine. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? That's why who you serve when you die is where you go. Whether of sin leading to what? Death. Or of obedience leading to what? Righteousness. Praise God. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that from that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of what? Righteousness. Slaves of righteousness. So there is obedience that's leading to righteousness. Amen. You know, let me share this with you, that something is, because right now there's such an invasion of technology. And you've heard me say this more and more and more. There's such an invasion of technology. that people can get access anything on their cell phones. They're so smart. They're stupid. I was on a busy road at a red light, and the light turns green, and this girl's walking across the street like this, stopping traffic. And she finally realized, oh, and I heard the Holy Spirit say something. He said this to me. He said, eyes on technology instead of reality. And that's what the enemy wants to always do, get us our eyes off of reality. One of the things he wants to get us off of what's influencing us, making what's unseen to become seen. Amen? And this girl was just walking across the street. And again, obedience is if we're willing to deny ourselves, pick up the cross and follow. Amen? We're focusing. We're not allowing technology and all the influences and all the distractions of the world to take our eyes off of Christ. Because all of those things are going to bring a distraction and remove us from reality, of true reality. Reality is in the unseen realm. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 7. Now, is what you're hearing tonight truth? Amen. A man's not teaching you the anointing is. Amen. In verse 7, it says, you ran well. Who hindered you from what? Obeying the truth. So what happens when we leave here tonight and we go out about our business? Are we going to take this with us? Are we going to really begin to implement this in the new life? Or we're just going to put it on the shelf and hope that it just jumps off and takes us and says, do it. It won't. They'll stay on the shelf and get dusty and eventually disappear. It's our responsibility to use everything that God gives us. Amen. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven, leaven's a whole lump. Now remember, leaven means evil. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you'll have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to what? Liberty, which means what? Freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Don't use it for the flesh. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you become consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do what you wish or what you desire. Why? So you are consistent in being humble, disciplined, obedient. So you're constantly walking away from yourself. You're picking the sword up, and you're fighting, and you are keeping your focus on the Lord to follow. He will always be before you. If you'll get dressed with the full armor of God, if you'll realize that this is a military operation, not some religious jargon thing that the world wants to implement and the devil wants to release. Jesus is not religious. The word religion means bondage. You and I came from a place called the kingdom of God. He sent us into this realm. The moment we were conceived, we lost all memory where we came from. That's why people love to get high. Why? Because the greatest high is God's presence. Amen? But the high that the devil will give you will kill you. Comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's a counterfeit. He counterfeits everything God does. Amen? Hallelujah. Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Verse 23, I think. Yeah. Jeremiah 7:23. Would you read it with me? But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be what? Well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their what? Their own evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. Amen. since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt, and the word Egypt means bondage, which means the world, until this day I've even sent you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, you shall speak all these words to them, but they won't obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. Now, I'm not going to read the next verse. Amen? Okay. Anyways, we're cool. This was a prophetic symbol at that time. Hallelujah. All right. Now, anyways. So, you know, when you begin to look at this country, this is what's going on here, isn't it? They're trying to remove truth. It's a nation now that's rebelling against God. It's no longer unified. Hallelujah. And now you're seeing such a political fight. It's incredible. Even they're fighting against their own people. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 3. You know, people are really tired of politicians, I really believe. Because they really haven't fulfilled anything. In fact, what's been going on lately has just been bondage, 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 debt, 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 and removal of God. See, there's a difference between globalists and patriots. The globalists are one world order people. They're under the rule of Satan's kingdom. And their purpose is to bring down a nation so it has to unify with the rest of the nations. Because they are servants of darkness. Amen? And they're all looking for a job. Praise God. Jeremiah 3. They sell their souls for a job. In verse 12, let's speak it. Then the Lord said to me, backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than teachers of Judah. treacherous Judah, excuse me. Let's read that again. Verse 11. Then the Lord said to me, backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God, and you have scattered your charms to alien deities. Hello. To what? Alien deities. These are not aliens. These are fallen angels and demons. Amen. But people call them aliens. They have alien deities under every green tree. These are tree huggers, you know, New Agers. And you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. So we see that these alien deities, people are being influenced by all of these false religions. Why? Because they're not following the truth. They're not making contact with true home. Amen? They're not in freedom. They're in bondage. And there is a difference. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. People are easily deceived. Hebrews chapter 3. Everybody okay? Are you learning something? Glory, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Let's speak it together, please. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will what? Hear His voice. Do not harden your hearts as in rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if, that word if means if you obey, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but those who did not obey? Let me tell you something. Disobedience always brings torment. Only obedience brings rest. Amen. So we see that they could not enter because of what? Unbelief. Hallelujah. So we receive because we believe, and when we receive and believe, we execute, we use. In other words, we put things into practice. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turn on a Tuesday night. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Since you have what? Purified your souls. And what? Obeying the truth. You see, obedience here and obeying the truth purifies your soul. Since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is of grass, and all the glory of a man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel which preached to you. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go to verse 5 and get out of here. Let's read it together. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and the offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. So, again, his enemies is the powers of darkness. Amen. But he's using me and you now to attack them. All right. For by one offering, he had perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now therefore is now there is remission of these. There is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Praise God. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now look at it. I'm going to go a little further. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking to what? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, God is requiring us that we assemble more, not less. And I want to close at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Better to learn than burn, right? How many of y'all, God tests what we learn? Yeah, you'll be going through that trial and all of a sudden, man, you know what? You can either take it off the shelf or you're not. Verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with what?
Humility.
Humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the what? Humble. Humble pie is very good. Just put some whipped cream on it and humble yourself. Amen. Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. It's not reverse. Exalt yourself and then humble yourself before God. No, that's not how it works. It says humble yourself. To be humble will cause you to be disciplined and obedient. Amen. Put you in the place of denying yourself, taking the sword, focusing your eyes on Jesus, and following him all the way home. And verse 7, what does it say? Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Oh, isn't that wonderful? So you don't have to try and fix something when it happens. You know what you need to do? Get rid of it. People stand in their puddle of affliction. And then woes is measies. Only me. It only happens to me. I don't believe it. Oh, step out of the puddle. Amen? Get your eyes off the puddle and get them on Jesus again. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, which means what? Alert. Be vigilant, which means what? Consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, it walks about like a roaring lion. He's not a lion. He's a roaring lion. He's got a big mouth. He's nothing but an ant, but with a megaphone. Seeking whom he may what? Devour. Resist him. Everyone say resist him. Now, how are you going to resist him? By not submitting to God or by submitting to God? It says submit to God. Then you can resist the devil. If you're not going to submit to God, there's no way you're going to resist the devil. He's going to use you as a welcome mat to his kingdom. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So everybody goes through it. Amen. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after you have suffered. You know how many people realize that you learn through your sufferings? Jesus learned obedience through his sufferings. So don't think that you're going to get away with it. Sufferings are trials. Trials expose two things, your impurities and your enemies. So after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and what? Settle you. Settle you to where you're what? Immovable. No compromise. No complacency. No justification. No reasoning. You are solid standing. God can trust you. Amen? See, so that means you're going to get into a place where you trust him completely. When you get in that place where you can trust him completely, he can trust you completely. Amen? Again, freedom's learned, but the price is cooperation. That means obedience. Without obedience, there is no freedom. The moment we fall from obedience, we begin to lose freedom. Use the keys of freedom. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Thank you for fresh rhema. Now, we apply the blood of Jesus on the seeds that's been empowered in us tonight. We ask that you protect it so it grows and bear fruit for your glory. Bring to remembrance those things, Holy Spirit. Seal it that we may be able to practice these things, because practice makes perfect. So we can kick butt on the enemy, be your witness, your sign and wonder, and bring glory to your name. Now, Lord, bless everyone in here. Reveal yourself to them. Visit them in dreams and visions, and establish them, heal them, and perfect them, that they may be your trophy for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.